Like my dad and his father before him, I attended public schools in Jewell County in north central Kansas. I didn't give Kansas public schools much thought until I married and started my own family. We wanted the best for our son, so we paid for full-day kindergarten. Soon after, we started noticing cuts to programs and increasing fees. Class sizes were swelling. In fact, by the time my youngest son started kindergarten, he was in a class of 26 energetic 5- and 6-year-olds. Temporary recession-era cuts seemed to become permanent, leaving little room in the day for individualized instruction. I started asking questions, but was told because of budget cuts coming from the Kansas legislature, there was only so much the local school district could do. Not satisfied, I became involved with the local PTA and joined the group Game On for Kansas Schools. I attended meetings and presentations on all sides of the education funding debate to try to untangle the complex issue that is school funding. Here's what I learned. There's a lot of misinformation out there. For instance, the administration of Governor Sam Brownback has repeatedly said that education funding is up. But is it? It all depends on how you calculate costs. Here's an example. When it comes to education spending, we are now counting payments being made to the State Employee Retirement Fund. While this is important and long overdue, boosting payments to CAPERS doesn't put more money into classrooms. Until 2014, the 20 mills local property taxes collected used to be sent directly to local schools. Now, that money is counted as state aid. In 2015, the 20 mills totaled more than $500 million. So now, it looks like the Brownback administration is spending a lot more money on public schools when, in reality, it's just the same money that was there before. The point is this. Accounting changes have artificially driven up the education budget total. Kansans need to know that new accounting practices don't change the total amount allocated, only how the state is counting its portion of school funding. If you look past the new labels, it's clear that state funding for teaching and learning has decreased. Still confused? Here's the bottom line. K-12 state funding for the day-to-day operations was never restored following the Great Recession, nor is it keeping pace with inflation. Quite simply, public education funding should reflect the actual costs of preparing Kansas youth to be college and career ready. Our courts have repeatedly ruled in favor of schools on this issue. Soon, the state's highest court will weigh in on whether Kansas is spending enough. Few believe the court of last resort will tell the state to spend less money. But maybe you still think we're spending too much. Consider this. Education is an investment. Studies show education spending provides a return on investment of at least 4.5 to 1. That return is even greater when you include other factors like a reduction in unemployment, healthcare costs, social services, and diversion from the criminal justice system. Adequate funding for Kansas public schools would allow for smaller class sizes, more individualized attention, competitive teacher pay, end the rationing of critical support staff like nurses, and reduce or eliminate fees that exclude some students from joining certain activities. Revenue is a finite resource, and we should use taxpayer dollars wisely. But Kansas has a history of supporting great public schools, dating back to the Homestead Act that first provided public schools for all. It's time we, as a state, get back to our roots of supporting and investing in public schools.